We've often had a question, why do people die? Is this what God intended? Well, first of all, what is death? It's the opposite of life, the cessation of life. Death means to perish and go out of existence entirely. Like the beasts that perish, mankind can perish, as we read in Psalm 49, verse 12. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 has a similar idea. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. This shows that man, if he stays in an unregenerated condition, will perish just as the beast perish. So to answer the questions that we mentioned before, why do people die, and is this what God intended, let's answer that with biblical understanding. And in order to do so, we must break the topic down. The Bible tells us that each of us is a unit of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Now don't take my word for that. Look it up in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where Paul said that he prayed God that their whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So first of all, let's look at the soul. We are the soul. We are a spiritual, not a physical, creature. The soul is the entity. The entity has the capacity to reason, to make choices, and to feel things. Secondly, the body. We're not our body. We are housed in a physical body. To illustrate this point, we don't stop being ourselves if our arm is cut off in an accident. But when our physical body dies, the soul has no more house to live in. So the soul would die also, unless a different kind of house or body, a spiritual one, has been grown in our mind before the physical body dies. The third part of this unit is spirit. It's called the breath of life in Genesis 2:7. It could have been translated spirit of life. This spirit gives our unit of body and soul the potential of about 70 or 80 years of life. It's a lot like the air pressure in an aerosol can that runs out with use. All three parts can die. The spirit of life that we have at birth will eventually die by simply running out. And at that time, our physical body will die because it cannot yet regenerate. But that does not necessarily mean that the soul must die also. Let's examine the various factors in why people, actual souls, do die. First of all, let's answer that other question. Does God intend for man to die? Emphatically, no. God's plan has always been to give life, not death, to mankind. In Genesis 1:21, we're told that God created every living creature. In Acts 17:25, we're told that God giveth to all life and breath. God created man in His image. It tells us that in Genesis 1:27. Since God has everlasting life, He originally intended man's life, his spirit, his soul, and body, to be everlasting also. Lucifer, the devil, threw a monkey wrench into this plan. The devil was a murderer from the beginning, as we're told in John 8:44. The devil took Adam and Eve's lives. He first tricked Eve into believing a lie, and then killed the truth that she had. As it says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he beguiled her. Then the devil used Eve as a mouthpiece to spread the lie to Adam. We can read that whole story in Genesis chapter 3. Adam disobeyed God's instructions. Disobedience is sin, as it tells us in James 4:17, if we know to do good and do it not, that is sin. Sin causes death to the soul, as we read in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. And Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, it will die. The devil has the power to cause living things to die. We read that in Hebrews 2:14, that it's the devil that has the power of death. God has the power to give us life. As we read in John 5:26, Jesus said that the Father has life in Himself. The devil continues, directly or indirectly, to cause all forms of death. God sent Christ to teach mankind how to fight the devil and how to destroy his hold on our life. We read this in James 4:7, which tells us, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Also, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 speaks of a warfare, and it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He meant that they were words and ideas that we can use to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So in other words, we can learn how to be a good soldier in this battle against evil. We can learn how to be an effective soldier. So why do people die? Well, again, the brief answer to this question is that the devil causes it, directly or indirectly. How? Well, in two ways. First of all, by creating sin and getting it planted in people's minds. As we read, the wages of sin is death. Secondly, since man is born mortal, not immortal, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:53, he has a limited amount of life. The devil works really hard to keep us from doing the spiritual work necessary to grow an eternal body and eternal spirit for us, the soul, to live in. So let's talk a little bit more in depth about the three parts that make up a human and how to grow these three parts from mortal to immortality. First, the body. Since we do need a body, either physical or spiritual, for the soul to live in and the spirit to run through, let's start there. A spiritual body is a body of knowledge in our mind. An immortal spiritual body, or eternal life, consists, at least in part, of words or knowledge of God. As Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Also in Colossians 3:10, we're told that we need to put on a new man, and that new man is renewed in knowledge. When God created Adam, God made him very good. You can read that in Genesis 1:31. But just as we have no knowledge when we're born, Adam had no knowledge when he was first created either. God intended for Adam to be taught eternal knowledge by the holy angels. Angels are spoken of symbolically as trees in Genesis chapter 2. Adam was told in Genesis 2:16-17 that he could eat of, or in other words, take knowledge from, all the trees, all the angels, except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That one was Lucifer. No natural tree has knowledge. So again, it shows that trees are symbolic of entities that have knowledge. And at that time, the only other entities that with knowledge other than Adam and Eve would have been angels. Lucifer had a very advanced degree of knowledge of both good and evil. God wanted Adam and Eve to be educated by other angels until they got enough knowledge to be prepared to fight Lucifer. If they had obeyed God, they would have obtained an eternal body of knowledge to house their soul. In addition, since the earth was good and regenerating, it would have provided the nutrients needed to regenerate their physical body as well. When sin entered Adam's mind, his body of knowledge became perverted, and thus was no longer eternal. Now it was perverted knowledge, such as the lie that Lucifer told in Genesis 3:4, when he said to them, "Thou shalt not surely die." It was a lie because God had said the opposite. So, in the day that Adam ate of Lucifer's knowledge, his body of knowledge became sinful. It died just as God had said it would in Genesis 2:17, where God told them that if they touched or ate of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day they would surely die. God also said that the earth would start to degenerate. It would bring forth thorns and thistles as a picture of the degeneration that was happening in Adam's mind. The earth would no longer provide what the physical body needed in order to live eternally. This was a picture that Adam's mind no longer had the knowledge his soul needed to live eternally. Before man could regain eternal life, he would have to go through, or in other words, learn about, the flaming sword spoken of in Genesis 3:24. That sword is symbolic of the Word of God, as we read in Ephesians 6:17, which says, "The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God." Okay, that's what we have to do for the body to be made immortal. What about the spirit that can be made immortal? Well, the body of knowledge is not the only part that needs to be made eternal, but the body without the spirit is dead. We read that in James 2:26. That also tells us the body of knowledge without the spirit of life from God is dead. Both parts must be eternal in order for us, the soul, to have an eternal spiritual, not physical, spiritual house to live in. James 2:26 gives the illustration, so faith without works is dead also. Faith is part of God's spirit, but having faith alone is not enough. We must have words of God to believe in and then work our faith by obeying these words. For example, loving our neighbor. Also, having the body or knowledge alone is not sufficient. If we have no faith in the words of God, those words are dead in us. The breath of life spirit that we're given at birth is not perverted, but neither is it eternal. Just as we need to obtain eternal knowledge, we need to obtain eternal spirit from God. To illustrate this point, when we are born, we have the capacity to love our parents. But that spirit of love cannot be compared to God's eternal spirit of love. God's eternal spirit is much deeper and richer, and He wants for us to get His eternal spirit of love, joy, peace, and so forth. As He tells us in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it's a list of God's fruits or phases of spirit. As Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. God had given Christ eternal peace that passeth understanding of mortal man, as it tells us in Philippians 4:7. God can give us the same eternal spirit of peace to use along with God's eternal words. Also, He can give us other phases or facets of God's spirit in an eternal depth. And this goes to make up our body of knowledge. Thirdly, the soul. When we have God's eternal knowledge from the Scriptures with eternal spirit, for example, God's motive of love, joined with that knowledge, then we, the soul, have an eternal house to live in. If we conquer sin in our lives, then sin can never destroy that body of knowledge or our spirit of life from God. So let's look at sin. The other way that the devil causes people to die is by making certain that we have been taught to sin. Sinful thoughts destroy holy, life-giving thoughts. Doubt destroys faith. Hate destroys love. Fear destroys peace. Satan is determined that his sin, placed in our minds, will destroy all semblance of God. God, on the other hand, wants to teach us about sin, what it is, how to conquer it, and how to keep it out of our minds. If it's not in our mind, it will never come out of our mouth. It will never be any part of us. So, when we conquer sin and choose to do the study and spiritual work necessary to grow an eternal body of knowledge and spirit, then we, the soul, will never die. Believest thou this? John 11:26 says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Whosoever lives and believes, has that eternal spirit of faith, in the words of God that Christ gave to mankind, will never die. Do you believe this?